How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 13th. Terry Mattingly joins us here in just a moment. We usually talk about matters of media coverage. This one deals with religious freedom in China. Bob Dylan was recently giving a concert there, and he was roundly criticized by the American media for selling out. Did he sell out? And was he focusing on things political or perhaps something that the media can't hear, and that is his religious concerns about what's going on in China? Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Is what I read true, that the music legend and famous speaker of his mind, Bob Dylan, sold out on human rights when giving a concert in China recently?
Well, let's put it this way. It certainly appears that Bob Dylan tried to send a signal with the first song of his concert. Whether or not that signal was political or whether that message was religious, it's clear that he did something he has symbolically done many times in his career, which is use his opening song as a statement. What's really interesting about this case is how the press, you know, didn't listen to the actual words that were coming out of his mouth, and we ended up with this kind of a furor, you know, in which people accused him of selling out. Very, very interesting case.
Maureen Dowd of the New York Times said...
She blew a gasket, didn't she?
She said, maybe he has done the impossible, broken creative new ground in selling out. She put him among the ranks of Beyonce, Mariah Carey, Usher, and even Elton John, who recently sang a couple numbers for Rush Limbaugh's fourth wedding.
Yeah, I thought that was just hilarious. Once again, when you hear that, you know, that somebody has avoided, I mean, the Washington Post said that his set list was devoid of even hints that he may have criticized the government. And yet the song he sang included at least one set of lyrics that directly violated China, you know, China policy. And he opened up with the first verse of the song, when seen in context, is essentially calling the lead Chinese leaders fools. It's kind of hard to see this as silence. Now, what he did do was he avoided several of the obvious songs from the political protest era of his life. You know, he didn't sing Chimes of Freedom. He didn't sing Blowing in the Wind. He didn't sing The Times Are Changing, the sort of stuff that people that just know a tiny bit about Bob Dylan might recognize. However, he sang a song that sent a very different signal that clashed with China life. It just happened to be religious. So for me, this became an absolutely incredible example of how, you might have heard, the press doesn't get religion.
So in other words, the press's ear is generally tuned to hear a political message from somebody like Dylan. When he doesn't deliver, they simply can't pick up on the signal that he is sending to a government that is now famous, and it passes with yawns, as you say, famous for repressing unregistered Christian churches.
If you had to pick what most controversies linked to China have been about in the last decade or maybe two decades, what are some of the first words that come to your mind? What you think about immediately is Tibet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think about house churches. You think about problems in Muslim parts of China. And you think then about, well, okay, to some degree, the one abortion, the one child policy, mandatory state abortion, and all of this then gets linked to economic issues. should the American government, we're talking Clinton era now, should the American government give special trading status to China? So if you dig back to most of the human rights issues that have caused China the most problems for 20 years, you hit religion. Which I think it's fascinating then that reporters, A, wouldn't recognize that, and B, dealing with a man who's had a long controversial history related to his religious views and what he does or doesn't believe. So Dylan comes out, and the first words of his mouth are one of his most famous songs about religion, and specifically religious freedom. Now, as best I can find out, Dylan performed the version of this song that he rewrote for a duet with the great gospel performer Mavis Staples, which was on an album of Dylan gospel music that came out in 2003. And by going with this version, he actually put into the song a reference to the Second Coming. And the Chinese government for a long time has attempted to get churches in general, but especially underground churches, from talking openly about apocalyptic issues such as the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. So Dylan must have sang the lyrics, Jesus is calling, he's coming back to gather his jewels, we live by the golden rule, whoever's got the gold rules. Now, of course, the second could also be seen as a commentary on the rather materialistic world of the modern China, but it is a clear reference to the second coming. And the first words out of his mouth would be, got to change my way of thinking, make myself a different set of rules, going to put my best foot forward and stop being influenced by fools. This sounds like Dylan to me. I will mention, and I wrote about this, of course, at Get Religion, and then just this morning I put out an update on it as a column for Scripps Howard. If he went with the second version of this song, then he would have left out a verse which also would have been very explicitly about religious oppression. I'd be very interested in knowing if he left this verse in, and that one has an explicitly biblical reference. Stripes on your shoulders, stripes on your back and on your hands, swords piercing your side, blood and water flowing throughout the land. I'd be very interested in knowing that if that verse was left in the song as well. If so, that's three pretty strong statements of his intent.
What do you think the recent critics of Dylan's performance in China wanted him to say? What did they want to hear him talk about, if not religion?
Well, I think they would have heard it if he had said something overt about Tibet. And there have been cases of people performing in China. In fact, one of the reasons the Chinese government has been so careful and has insisted on screening the set list for performers in an attempt to censor away some controversial content, which once again shows up in the Marine Dowd column and tons of other places in the coverage of this. This whole thing created kind of a little firestorm, as often surrounds Dylan. I think they would have appreciated it if he had attacked China on Tibet. It's possible that if he had given a speech from the stage about religious freedom or something and gotten the concert shut down, that would have been okay. Yet Dylan doesn't talk on stage anymore. He hasn't for several decades. He basically he introduces his band, but other than that, he doesn't say anything on stage. He just lets his music talk.
Do you think part of it is that those criticizing Dylan's performance in China simply don't get the post-born-again Dylan? And it is very difficult to figure out what this guy actually believes. He's very eclectic in his beliefs.
Yeah, he has said a lot of different things. I think it's one, he by all means has never shunned his Jewish faith and roots. I think that's clear. Yet at the same time, his obsession with prophecy, and specifically prophecy about Jesus and prophecy about the end of the world. And he said many times that he expects the world to come to an end with the second coming of Christ. He has said that a number of times. There was a sermon he gave during one of his shows during the heart of his Christian period when he was touring and doing nothing but gospel music for several years. All he would do on stage was perform gospel. And it's a famous quote, which I tried to get into the column today, but there wasn't room for it. He basically said, I told you the answer was blowing. I told you the times they were a-changing, and they were. I told you the answer was blowing in the wind, and it was. Now I'm telling you that Jesus is coming again, and there is no other means to salvation. Okay, that's pretty explicit. But it's a controversial issue if you say, is Bob Dylan a practicing Christian, let alone a practicing born-again Christian? That's a hard question to answer. Here's an easy question to answer. Has the man's career from that point had even more evidence that his entire worldview is shaped primarily by religion and that that has shaped the contents of his music? That is an easy statement to say, yeah, statistically, that's true. Every album he's done since then has in some way had religious content right up to his most recent albums of his own material. It's very clear that this is a man who views the world, who views politics, who views current events, who views everything around him through a lens that is in large part religious and to some degree apocalyptic.
Well, when we come back, I wonder, what does it mean for the Maureen Dowds of the world to lose a voice, this kind of a voice, that of Bob Dylan, to concerns that they consider to be, well, trivial? We'll find out more. Terry Mattingly is our guest. This is Issues Etc. live this Wednesday, April the 13th.
Cardinal baseball is in full swing. The St. Clair County Transit District and the Redbird Express provide service to all Cardinal home games. Buses leave from St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Illinois, near the water tower. The first bus leaves 2.5 hours before game time, with service every 10 minutes. The last bus leaves 40 minutes prior to the game. The last bus will return from the stadium 25 minutes after the official end of the game. Round-trip fares are $5 for adults, $2 for children ages 5 to 12, and children under 5 ride free. All buses are wheelchair lift equipped and load and unload at the corner of 7th and Clark, right outside of Gate 4 at Busch Stadium. So give yourself a break from traffic and parking hassles and take a ride on the Redbird Express to the next Cardinals home game. Call 618-628-8090 or log on to scctd.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Stripes on your shoulder, studs on your back and on your hand. Stripes on your shoulder, stripes on your back and on your hand. Swords piercing your side, blood and water flowing through the land.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit of what Dylan was singing about in China sounds to me like the Chinese government, if they were paying attention to his lyrics, wouldn't be very happy with that at all, especially how they treat the religious freedoms of unregistered Christian churches there in that gigantic powerhouse of a nation. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of religious freedom in China. Issues Etc. 24 went off without very many hitches. And with 12 guests in a row, 12 books of the Bible, 24 hours of live Issues Etc. Bible study, it's all done. It's all in the can. It's all there for you at our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, there's a link to Issues Etc. 24 and Listen on Demand. All 24 hours of Issues Etc. 24 with those 12 great guests, each covering a book of the Bible in 2 hours during our 24-hour live broadcast, all there for you on demand. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Terry, I wonder, what does it mean for the Maureen Dowds of the world to lose this voice, Dylan's voice that was for so many years a voice bringing their concerns to the stage, now to lose that voice to concerns that they obviously consider to be trivial?
Yeah, one of the, I think you'd have to put him right up there with John Lennon in terms of being people who was a critical darling of the culture that emerges from the 60s. So to say that to understand Bob Dylan, you've got to read the book of Revelation, that must be really painful.
I wanted to ask you about the knife's edge that any performer is going to walk if he's going to actually pull off a live performance in China today. Even now, we could call it quasi-capitalist China.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. There are websites that are dedicated to collecting the set lists from Dylan. I think it's, by all means, there are other songs in the set list that he performed that are rather controversial. And there are other songs in the set list that make references to religion. Thunder on the Mountain is one such, which, of all things, has him going down to a church, which my reading of the verse is that it's an Orthodox church, an Eastern Orthodox church, has a reference to that, and taking his vows, whatever that means. As always, Dylan leaves you a lot to think about. This gospel stomper that he opens the show with, Got to Change My Way of Thinking. I mean, it's got a reference in it to Dante's Inferno. You know, he packs his stuff full of things. So I'm not surprised that the government of China didn't do a very good job of shutting down Bob Dylan. That must be a really hard job to control what people say on a stage. What surprises me is that with the internet at your disposal, that any journalist who knows anything about Bob Dylan isn't going to answer this question, ask this question, and then answer it. What did the man say in his first song when he took the stage? Because if you know anything about Dylan, you know that before you write that piece, you had better go check those lyrics. And they didn't. And I find that incredible.
In a more general sense, Terry, why does repression of unregistered house churches in China, which is now routine, arrests in the hundreds are routine, why does it go so unnoticed by the American press now? Why does it go unnoticed by otherwise attentive human rights activists?
I think it's just become a part of normality. I also think China is so important to American economic and foreign policy, and the regime there has been embraced so openly and so thoroughly by both Republicans and Democrats, you know, in recent administrations, that I just think people are just saying, well, okay, China is now normal. Whatever they want to do, I guess they can do, unless it gets in the way of ratings for the Olympics or something like that. This policy of China, this has become something that you just don't need to talk about because it's old news.
Is it because, maybe in a political sense, that China isn't only of interest to us economically, it is of necessity to us economically?
Well, that's certainly part of it, in my opinion. The other thing you could say is that the people who remain interested in oppression in China are voices that the press also doesn't respect, with the exception of, on the Tibetan issue, a few right-wing Christians and traditional Catholics. And then on Tibet, you also have, of course, Hollywood stars. That's the point I was going to make. There was a funny moment during the Clinton administration, which Fred Barnes wrote about at the Weekly Standard, that kind of caught the bizarreness of this. And it was a rally protesting the Clinton administration's decision to give China most favored nation status. And one of the people speaking at this rally was the very suave and famous Hollywood actor Richard Gere, someone with kind of an ultra-sophisticated Hollywood, rep. And so he's standing up there, according to Fred, in a leather jacket and looking very Hollywood starish. And up walks Gary Bauer of, the Family Research Council. I believe he was still on their staff at that point or had gone on to his own organization. Gary Bauer was one of the evangelicals who, because of the house church issue, was most outspoken on the Tibetan issue and had been very consistent in his views on the protection of all religious minorities. Well, according to Fred, there's this moment when Gary Bauer walks on stage in his, gray, boring, wool-blend suit, and Richard Gere turns around and sees him and shouts, "Gary Bauer, my main man!" and runs over and gives him a hug. Okay, let's just say that Richard Gere was being a little bit more consistent in his views on religious liberty than most of Hollywood and most of the cool people in American society, like Maureen Dowd, to name one.
Are we, with only about a minute here,
yeah,
by ignoring this, and even as China continues to grow as an economic powerhouse, are we in some ways, insofar as we can affect change there, are we sealing the fate of millions of Christians in China by saying nothing, even while taking Chinese money?
I think there's two ways you can look at this. Certainly, we as a nation and we as the Christian churches in avoiding the issues of persecution, which sadly lots of churches just continue to look the other way. Churches do. Certainly we have some blood on our hands, as the Christian institutions here in America. At the same time, we can only look at history and say the church has grown in times of persecution, and it certainly sounds like that's what's happening in China.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you, and have a blessed Holy Week next week.
Folks, we bring you great guests every day on Issues Etc. Just this hour, think about it. We heard from Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, Wendy Wright, and just now Terry Mattingly. Now, if you appreciate hearing from these guests on a regular basis, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. For a gift of any size before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's that address again. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. As always, thanks for listening, and thanks for your continued support. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Bill Swirla about priesthood and ministry. Does the fact, and the Bible says we are a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, speaking of all Christians, does the fact that the Bible says that all Christians are priests before God and the world mean that all Christians are ministers? Some people believe that there is no distinction between the ministry, the office of the ministry, and the priesthood of all the baptized. We'll follow that distinction, make it, and see what it means with Pastor Bill Swirla tomorrow on Issues Etc. Then Friday, the movie Atlas Shrugged will debut, And we'll talk about this classic work by Ayn Rand with Dr. Clay Jones of Biola University. It is true that the church thrives in times of persecution, but that does not mean that we who stand on the other side of that line of persecution, who exercise our religious freedom with impunity, we can do just about anything we want to in the name of religious freedom, not only things that God requires of us, but things that He doesn't. And we who live with such unparalleled freedom can remain silent when we see Christians, even on the other side of the planet, suffering the persecution they suffer today. Yes, the church grows under persecution, but we need, with all the freedom that we are given, to speak out in their defense as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.